to America and live from the G&B Show Studio. This is your host, Benedict Arthur Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Yes, yes, indeedy. That music must mean it's Sunday night. Welcome back, Shadow Nation, once again to the home of the mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Testing something, are you, Nathan?
Well, would I do that?
Messed up the intro. You're testing something.
No, I would never do that.
Hey, let's test something. I got a good idea. Let's test something when we open up the show. It's a good time to do it.
I was trying to see if I could record you. It was.
Yeah, I like that. Mystifying Oracle of Radio. I don't know. In case nobody heard me, guys, this is the home of the Mystifying Oracle of Radio. So good to be back. So glad to have you. Woo! I bet you guys thought we was off the air. It's been, what, 5 weeks?
Has it been that long?
Yes, I think it has been that long. We had a crazy week. I had a crazy about 4 or 5 weeks, however long we were off. We apologize, guys. It's hard to go without your G&D show. We understand that.
Well, but, the thing people have to understand, Sean.
What?
They need to understand is that the month of December gets hectic.
It does get hectic. We need
and
to
then
recoup.
You try and line up guests. But their lives are hectic.
They are hectic. They are.
And so not only do they not want to do anything in December, but you can't get a hold of anybody in December to do a show in January.
That's true. Hey, Nathan, special thanks to all our sponsors before we get into that big mess. Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out. ActionAudioApps.net. 102.7 FM, The Hog. Thanks for being so cool, guys. It's all our homes there. Who'd we forget? Did we forget somebody? Oh, yeah, we also go out on YouTube and iTunes and the world. The world is listening.
They always listen.
Yeah, it is. Demon Hunter, we picked up another good cause that we're backing this year. I probably should have told you about that before the show, but...
That would have been nice.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling...
Just throw something new in there, Sean.
Yeah, it is. But you guys...
Why don't you test something while you're at it?
I'm going to test it right now. Guys, you know your G&D show always helps out the community. We try to involve ourselves in good causes. Last year, we were fighting cancer with the Susan G. Komen 3-day race for the cure. We support things like that. And this year, our good friend of the show, Sandy Merritt, the same one that had this Susan G. Komen 3-day race for the cure we tried to raise money for, she now has a non-for-profit organization called the SYL Project. The SYL Project. You can find more about that at, you ready for this? TheSYLProject.com, guys. The SYL Project.
How lucky it is that she got that.
Dot
as a
com, yes. Absolutely. What a name for a website. But guys, it is a website dedicated to simple acts of kindness, from sick people to just somebody that influences your life every day and does good things for you. The guy that makes the coffee down the street. You want to do something nice for somebody, you go to SYL.com, and they specialize in love. So, huh?
Can I order some love?
I think you, well, not on this, not the love you want, not on this side. But anyway, give some love. Support the SYL Project today. Helping those in need of love get what they need.
Aww.
SYLProject.com, guys.
Does that mean I have to add this to our website, Sean?
Yes. Another link for our website. No, they're good people over there. Think about it. How many times in a day do people do good things for us? From, you know, your favorite grocery store you go to and, you know, Ayub or John or Teddy is out there and says, hey, Mr. Schoonover, you know, here's your whatever, your nudie mag or whatever it is you do these days. You know.
First of all, I don't tell anybody my name.
Let's clear the air. Nobody? Really?
No.
Why not?
Are you kidding? I put my thumb over my name on my credit card when I swipe it. I don't want people to know who I am.
You're nuts.
And
you're paranoid.
And secondly,
paranoid.
Nobody's ever nice to me.
No, I don't doubt it. You're never nice to anybody else. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Anyway, guys, we are back, and it's that time for Nathan Shadow Nation.
Yes.
I don't think you guys are prepared for this. I don't think I'm going to do it, Nathan.
I want to know, Sean. The truth is out there.
Here we go. Tonight's guest. That's right. Shadow Nation. Listeners around the world. One of the most iconic villains in the history of television. The cigarette-smoking man fascinated legions of fans of the 1990s hit show, The X-Files. William Bruce Davis, actor, teacher, is a Canadian actor and director known for his starring as the smoking man on The X-Files. Besides appearing in many TV programs and movies all over the world, Davis founded his own acting school, the William Davis Center for Actor Study. His personal life, Davis is an avid water skier, and he works with the Canadian Cancer Society and lectures on skepticism. Tonight, Shadow Nation, X-Files fans, the Smoking Man stops by your Mystifying Oracle Radio, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Huh?
Ah!
He'll be in the studio tonight, everybody. The X-Files, who is not getting excited about that? I know I am.
I'm all a jitter.
William B. Davis, also known as the Cancer Man and the Smoking Man. And that's good that he does, works with the Canadian Cancer Society. Huh? Kind of like what we do. He does more than what we do. But, you know, we try to mention it and get it out there as much as we can. Huh?
This is true.
Oh, guys, if you're not getting excited about that, you're dead. So, come back and whenever.
So we'll see you tonight on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we'll see you. Oh, that's it, guys. Tonight's a G&D original comes back. I'm excited about it, Nathan.
Mm.
What G&D original comes back? Talk about it.
Nursery Rhyme Theater.
Yes, and also Rot Talk.
Rot Talk.
Each week, yeah, we cover, during the Walking Dead season, we have a special segment. We'll go over that a little bit later after our ramblings for a good hour.
Hey, it's ADDJ Radio.
ADDJ Radio. Gave thanks to the sponsors. This week, so much has been going on. Actually, so much has been going on since the Super Bowl. Oh, my God, the pass heard round the world. Did you watch it, Nathan? Huh?
I was laughing so hard.
Oh, my God. Anybody but the Patriots, please win the Super Bowl. That's my thoughts. I'm thinking, I'm sitting in the recliner. And I'm not a big Seahawks fan. Everybody that listens to this show for the last 9 years knows that I love the Indianapolis Colts. And Nathan is not even a big football fan. He just likes the Patriots. From
because
New England.
You don't like them.
Because I don't like them. They're my arch nemesis. Yes. And he likes them just to make me angry. And of course, dude, that was Seattle's football game. That was Seattle's Super Bowl. How do you have the best running back in the National Football League? Argumented. Yeah.
Is that a word, Sean?
Argumentative. Huh? Argumentative, not to be argumentative, but Seattle does have the best running back in the National Football League. You're on the 1 yard line, second down, 30 seconds left in the game, and you pass the ball. And of course, everybody knows New England snatches the ball and runs the clock out. And then there was a huge fight. That was the best part of the game, I think.
Oh, I did enjoy the fight. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really disappointed I wasn't sitting with you watching the game.
Oh, there would have been a fight in the front room. There would have been an epic G&D show battle. We haven't had one of those for a while. We used to debate here on the show. Well, we do. We still debate.
That's because you keep your mouth shut about the Ouija board.
There's not bloodshed or nothing. Well, I was so right all the time. I couldn't.
Oh.
You know, I rented that movie the other day, and I didn't get a chance to watch it. The Ouija.
Ouija?
Yeah, actually, it's just Ouija.
It's Ouija.
It's pronounced Ouija. If you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, it's pronounced Ouija.
It's actually spelled Ya-Ya, so...
Ya-Ya, yeah. We had some epic shows, some epic battles over the Ouija board. I think it's simply a piece of Americana, the spiritualist movement way back in the day.
Ouija, excuse me, Ouija.
You and many others believe it's the gateway to Satan's
I
kitchen.
I don't believe it's the gateway to hell. I just don't think people should play with them.
Quit playing with yourself. Yeah.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody plays with them. They contact the dead. That's not playing. Playing's like playing Monopoly. So basically what you're saying about the Ouija board is if I play Monopoly and I land on Boardwalk, Satan will eat my soul. Because it's the same principle. I'm just saying. It's the same principle. I'm bringing out the BS bell. And you got it twice, buddy, BS.
No, because if you land on Boardwalk, J.P. Morgan rises from the grave and he eats your soul.
Too late! That's the mortgage. Huh? I don't know. Anyway, we had topics we were going to go over, and we're totally getting off topic because we've had so much going on. The Super Bowl, of course, was fixed.
Fixed.
It was fixed.
Next, you're going to say the Illuminati fixed it.
Oh, funny you bring that up. Would you like Would you like to expand on that?
Why, Sean, why don't you expand on it? I think you paid more attention to the Illuminati halftime show than I did.
Illuminati halftime show with Katy Perry. If you didn't pay attention, what's wrong with you? It's Katy Perry, man. Did you see the show, though?
The halftime show? Sure, I saw the show. I like the dancing sharks.
You like the... Oh, did you see the one that was out of misstep or whatever and everybody was making a big deal out of it? Did you see it?
You know what? That poor guy, they didn't really choreograph the sharks, so...
Yeah. How hard... They probably threw a fin on him and said, dude, get out there.
Just move around to the music.
Yeah, just feel the music.
If Katy Perry is on stage and you're Katy watching Perry. The guy in a shark costume behind him, what's wrong with you?
You know, she got voted the sexiest chest, I guess you could say, cleavage in the world.
Did she?
She did. She got the voted the sexiest cleavage, and I did vote. And I
guess she's okay.
I would have to agree. She's just okay. Yeah, you know, in the face, as far as that, it's really the way you look. You could be a dog like you and I. And they could spray.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Men and Demon Hunter or their associates.
I'm sorry if I, offended any canines out there. But, some people, let's face it, just because you're in Hollywood doesn't make you gorgeous. Now, the spray paint and the makeup that comes with it.
Well,
You know, they actually do the spray painting thing.
Do they?
They do.
Well, I saw them spray paint your abs when we were doing TV, Sean.
Well, they didn't do a very good job.
Well, they ran out of paint.
Everybody's seen the... Yes, we're going to bring this up. We're going to revisit this again. Anyway, Illuminati Super Bowl ritual. You know, everybody that's never seen me will think I'm a big cow or something. I'm not that big, guys. I'm a husky guy. I weigh about 230 pounds. And Nathan thinks it's funny to crack on a 230-pounder. So you husky men out there that are real men in real men's bodies, attack Nathan Schoonover, known as the Demon Hunter.
Hey, I'm a healthy 180 pounds.
Yeah, okay? We must stand together against the skinny, scrawny people of America. Katy Perry's
Nothing
Illuminati.
Nothing scrawny about me, chubby man.
Yes, Katy Perry's Illuminati halftime. Keep drinking that Sam Adams, see what happens. Illuminati Super Bowl ritual pre-show exposed.
Huh? Go ahead.
All right. Everybody
expose
has
expose Katy Perry.
Yeah, you better look up your next story while I'm doing my research here. February 1st, 2015, an investigative look into the symbolism surrounding Katy Perry and the Super Bowl. The Illuminati have employed the Super Bowl to carry out an enormous satanic ritual, much like the Masons, in front of... I'm kidding. In front of...
It's all funny till we come knocking on your door, man.
We have all kinds of Illuminati that run the networks that we're on here. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, but I'm not. Help me. Help me. Anyway, ritual in front of the a lot of unsuspecting people during the Super Bowl. In this video, it shows you the vigilant Christian shows how this year's halftime show featuring Katy Perry will be no distinct. What? No distinct! In fact, it may be the largest one yet when we look at the evidence. And that is what we will do. And then, of course, they break down the video. It says, Revelation 17:15, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, exactly where the... Oh, I can't say that. Sitteth, are peoples and the multitudes and nations and tongues. 16 and the 10 horn. You can look it up, guys. Revelations. Anyway, it's bad, right? They say her riding on the lion and all this stuff was bad. It says, is Katy Perry the Illuminati? Absolutely. John Isaac Worship, as he reveals the occult symbolism behind Katy Perry, he says that the tiger that she rode out on. I thought it was a lion. But it wasn't. It was a tiger. And they said that's the head of the beast or something like that. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it says take a look at 2015 Super Bowl halftime performance. It was totally packed with Illuminati symbolism, like the moon or whatever, when she was riding it through there. But see, that can be related, go back and associate it with the Masonic symbolism as well. The moon and the star. And
yeah, it could also go back to, paganism before neo-paganism. It could go to the Muslim beliefs. It can go to, because Allah was the moon god. Yeah.
Why do you have to ruin everybody's conspiracy theories?
Well, you know, it could go to Johnson & Johnson that have...
For Q-tips!
have a fingernail moon as their logo. You know, it could go back to the little prince and the moon and whatever.
Katy Perry is Illuminati goddess, is what she said.
Uh-huh.
She is amazing. Did I mention she won the best breast in 2015?
She's okay.
Yeah. They're calling it the Katy Perry's Dark Horse performance. Yeah. Katy Perry's performing at a location that was picked out precisely for its I can't believe some of this stuff. Numeric significance. The University of Phoenix Stadium is situated at the 33rd degree of latitude, a line that crosses the planet through the Phoenicia, city of Tyre, a city with an entrance adorned by the two pillars of Bose and Jachin, and Baghdad, Iraq, near where the Tower of Babel was believed to exist.
Boaz and Jenkin.
Boaz and... What are you talking about? See, how did you know that?
I'm not saying.
Just come clean on the show, Nathan. We'll go easier on you when we stone you to death.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, did you hear about the Egyptian artifacts they discovered in Jerusalem?
Did they now?
Yeah.
Well, considering the Romans, you know, ruled over Jerusalem and conquered Egypt, I can't imagine how that would have happened.
What do you mean? What's that mean? Romans were aliens? You're way out there. Talk about conspiracy theory. Egyptian artifacts discovered in Jerusalem kept secret by Rockefeller Museum. Alien origin? ? This comes from Disclosed TV. You guys see that a lot if you follow me on Facebook. I love this site. Love it. Thanks, guys. February 8, 2015. Alien and UFO circles are abuzz with claims of remarkable ancient Egyptian artifacts discovered in the former Jerusalem home of the famous Egyptologist Sir William Petri dish. Items that could rewrite ancient Egyptian history is Petri's quote, and indeed the history of the world. They released a YouTube video by the website Paranormal Crucible. That shows the ancient Egyptian sculpture artifacts originally found in the Giza complex, but reportedly taken away from Petrie's Jerusalem home by representatives of the Rockefeller Archaeological Museum shortly after they were found, according to the website UFO Sightings Daily.
Who would have guessed?
Huh? These websites must have these undercover guys everywhere, all over the world. I mean, they pay them. Well, that's what we need. We need promotional for the G&D show. Guys, you guys want to go undercover for us and get these top stories like this? We can pay you like $5. You can fly out to Egypt, just stand by the street corner. We'll call you on a cell phone.
Not $5 a day or anything like that. $5.
A month, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If we can put that together.
Yeah. They say, however, Ambellas, that's another news reporter, claims that some of the relics may be seen at the Petrie Museum of Egyptian Archaeology in Mallet Place, Camden, near Gower Street in London.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, that is nice. They just assume that these... But believers will assume that the more sensitive relics of alien origin are being kept from the public. But they are on display, and some have came up missing, guys. You can check that out, Alien Egyptian Artifact discovered in Jerusalem. Check that out up on YouTube, guys. Interesting story, though.
Why are you stealing their artifacts, Sean?
I don't know. They'd be cool. I thought it'd be cool down in the studio, man. I don't know.
I mean, that's not cool, man. Not cool.
I don't know. I was watching this, you know, I've been on this alien kick here lately, and we've had some humdingers, man, of shows with, you know, past guests coming on talking about, we had Dr. Lynn Kite.
That's right, we did.
Came on, and Dr. David Jacobs, that talks about the alien human hybrids that walk among us.
So we got some comments about that one.
Yeah, we did, actually, and of course, Ryan Burns. The man that never slept out at Skinwalker Ranch and was never...
No, he would never do that.
He said never do that. He warned us against it. It was terrible, especially, you know, the Bigfoot things he's seen out there, werewolf types.
And we always take people's warnings on such things. Like, we would never, like, walk into a room and, like, handle the box that holds the Dybbuk box. Or
no, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, hey, some of you might... Good thing you brought that up. Some of you might have noticed Nathan and I's debut on the Destination America channel last night. We had an episode that Nathan and I were advisors to. You know, they asked us a bunch of questions. We had some stuff happen, some serious stuff, guys. You can go back in our archives and look up the Jason Haxton, owner of the Dybbuk box episode, where it was recorded and documented, the stuff that we had happened strange in studio while we were on the air. Right, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. And then not to mention the stuff that happened immediately thereafter and the following days.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we had the stuff happen. Nathan gets the heck beat out of him. He wakes up. He has grown man's, what looks like grown man bruises on his back from fists that night. And his face swells up. And then,
before I even left the studio.
Yeah, and then 2 days after, of course, my car gets struck by lightning, blows up, gas main breaks, leaking into nothing but the studio at the house. What else happened? AC's out, TV went out. That's about it.
We lost our connection between you and I online.
Yeah, we did. Only Jason during the show. He could only hear you when I started talking about Nazis and the connection with the box, and he could only hear me when you started asking questions. So, yeah, it was real peculiar. Anyway, Destination America called Monsters and Mysteries in America. They said, hey, can you help us guys out? So Nathan and I sent them pictures of what happened, and we talked to them, and they sent me out to do a quick little thing. And, of course, we filmed for about 3 hours. Nathan and I both know how Hollywood works. Apparently on this one, it came down to 10 seconds. 3 hours, 10 seconds. And, yeah,
that beats my my filming for the Maury show for 10 hours and getting 10 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, they at the very beginning of the episode last night, I said something, you know, it's been a hard lesson. The Dybbuk box came after us, and I hope the lesson's over or whatever. Anyway, thanks to Destination America. There will be an international release where you'll find out more about Nathan and I and our stuff that happened during that episode. And if you guys don't want to wait for that, that'll be up on our Facebook page and possibly website. But if you don't want to wait for that, make sure to go to ghostanddemon.com. On the left side says Archives. Click on the Archives and look down to Jason Haxton, owner of the Dybbuk box episode. And you'll be able
Sean, I think they can go click on our YouTube link there and go see some of your information actually going and checking out the Dybbuk box itself.
I did that?
Yeah, I think you did.
That's how we do it. Hey, you went to Disney World, man. Huh?
Yeah, because that compares to the Dybbuk box.
Right. Well, I don't want to talk too much more about it. I already have the replica behind me in studio. I'm looking at it right now.
You're just afraid the place will blow up.
Yeah, dude, I can't afford another system in the studio. Let's quit. I just got back on track, man. You don't understand. I still have to buy a new air conditioner before summer hits. That's, I think it was like $3,500. Yeah, used some of the tax check, and then I ended up paying on the car probably about $4,000. With insurance, the damage that was done. And, yeah, there we are. I mean, what are you going to do?
We should have Jason back on the show.
Yeah, well, we might someday. We're not scared of that stuff. But, yeah, well, the skeptics would say it was coincidence. And maybe it was, but it was one heck of a coincidence.
There were a lot of coinky dinks going on there.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yes, I went to Disney World. Yay!
Disney World! M-I-C-K. How was it? Did you get the measles?
I did not get the measles. That was Disneyland.
Disneyland in California.
Yes, you got to... Yeah, you know, there's definitely no problem with not having your children vaccinated nowadays, huh?
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
No, Disneyland, a lot of measles going on there. But I went to Disney World.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows me knows I actually do enjoy Disney World. However, this time that I went to Disney World.
Did you ride the teacups?
I did not ride the teacups.
Why not?
Chrissy gets sick on the teacups.
Okay.
But almost every ride I went on got stalled in the middle of the ride.
Okay.
I mean, that has never happened to me. I mean, usually once or twice a ride stalls on me. But I actually, growing up, Chrissy had a horrible fear.
Growing up, Chrissy.
The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, epic, epic ride.
And there's a scene in there where everything's on fire. And that always frightened her as a kid.
Yeah.
Well, this time we got stuck right in that scene of the Pirates of the Caribbean for about 25 minutes.
Is that before or after you go down the little ramp where it goes, ha, 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 ha?
That's after. That's, okay. That's practically the first thing that happens to you.
Is it really? I remember it at the end.
Did you go to Disneyland or Disney World?
No, I've never been to Disneyland. Always went to Orlando.
Yeah, there's a ramp right at the beginning that has the skull and crossbones, and you go down that one, and then you travel past the pirate ship, and then you travel through the pirate town, and then you travel through the burning town, and then you see all the pirates in jail, and now at the end you see Johnny Depp.
See, that's terrible. What's Johnny doing? What's he doing at the end? I mean, what's he say?
He's singing the pirate song.
Pirate's Life for Me.
Pirate's Life for Me. And of course, he pops up about three times during the actual whole ride now.
That's terrible. Do you like that? How can you change a classic?
I don't mind that so much, only because it gets the little kids who have seen the movies involved. Uh-huh. But you know what? As much as I love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
Those will fade away, and you know, 15, 20 years from now, people are going to be saying, "Who's that guy?"
Yeah, well, they'll take him out.
Yeah.
How does he spend so much time, though, Johnny Depp, in that ride and continue to film? You know, because they got another one. I mean, does he stand there all day? Does he get a lunch break in 2:15?
I think he must. And you know, I saw him wandering around the park too in full costume. So it's
amazing.
I don't know how he gets in all those places at once.
He's Illuminati.
But no, I had a good time there.
Is he riding a tiger?
I split Epcot into 2 days this time.
Did you see Katy Perry?
Did not see Katy Perry.
Okay.
But I split Epcot into two days.
Right, right.
And so I could spend one day drinking around the world.
Yes. Did you hit every place?
I didn't make it to the end, man. No. I didn't make it to the end. I didn't make it to England and Canada.
You are a disgrace to the entire.
Well, the problem is, I started off wrong. I should have started with England and Canada and worked my way around to Mexico.
Yeah,
but I started with Mexico with margaritas.
Oh, never start with tequila, man.
Never start with tequila, man.
Oh, it's, that's a T-shirt.
It killed me, but
yeah, I'd do that.
Do you know what Epcot stands for?
No. But I do remember when they first opened the General Motors-sponsored ride out there, not too far after it had opened, and their big thing was the dragon with the orange horns. Remember that?
Dragon with the orange
horns. That was their main mascot at the time. Dad took us out there because all GM employees got in for half price or whatever. And it was like a look at the modern future or whatever.
And it
What's it stand for?
Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because originally Walt Disney was designing Epcot to be a town for the people who worked for Disney and all that stuff to live in.
Yeah.
And of course Disney died before Disney World ever actually opened.
Is that where his head's frozen at?
His head is not frozen.
In that giant golf ball?
Next thing you'll think the Illuminati frozen.
Probably did.
He was not a Mason.
That's what you guys talk about at your meetings, how Disney's head must stay frozen. Yeah.
You've been listening in, you eavesdropper.
It is terrible. Go ahead.
I spent a day in Future World.
Yeah.
Riding the rides that I'm always afraid they're just going to take out because nobody rides them anymore.
Right.
Like Ellen Energy Adventure and that stuff like that.
Yeah. Jesus.
The next day I spent drinking around the world, and I don't remember what happened the day after that.
You woke up somewhere in the world.
I woke up somewhere in the park.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the last thing I remember.
Was the wife with you? Did she let you off the leash and you went crazy? Or?
Oh, are you kidding? A day of drinking? Of course she was with me.
Oh, yeah. So that was the whole day. I mean, you guys just went out and said the heck with it.
Yeah. You got to spend one day like that if you're going to Disney World.
So what would you do if you had the kids?
This is a cool thing that you need to remember the next time you go to Disney World.
Don't leave the kids?
You can hire a Disney babysitter.
Okay.
To come to your room and entertain the kids while you go to Epcot and drink around the world.
I'm not sure that I want to hire a professional entertainer for my children. I can't even afford one for myself.
But that's the thing. It's Disney. So they hire these people at outrageously low prices.
So does the Cinderella change diapers? Is that how that works? Or?
I believe she does. Yeah. It's,
I don't know.
You can go to Disney. You can take the kids to the Magic Kingdom. And the next day, leave them back in the room. And you go to Epcot and drink.
See, I can do that. I can do that all day. Anyway, you had a good time, huh?
I had a good time.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse nice to get out of the Northeast for a week.
What's Mickey Mouse like? Real nice guy? Or?
Yeah, but he's quiet.
That's true. Hey, President's Day's coming up, right?
Yes, it is.
What do you think about that?
I think they should go back to giving both Lincoln and Washington their own birthdays again.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have? You called your congressman? Have you done anything?
Of course I have.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I wound up on the blacklist.
Yeah. It's,
when you threaten your congressman, unless they bring back Washington's birthday, they get angry at you.
By the way, guys, President's Day, Washington's birthday, President's Day 2015 will be Monday, February 16th.
So for those of you who are going to have an extra special Valentine's Day weekend, you get an extra day to get over the hangover.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of people get off those days, Sean.
Hey, why President's Day is slightly strange, Demon Hunter. Most federal holidays are clear cut. On the 4th of July, for example, Americans celebrate the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. On the other hand, President's Day is a slightly strange holiday for three main reasons. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
There is no universal agreement on the actual name of the holiday.
Really?
No universal agreement. That means nobody can agree. Yeah. There is no universal agreement on which presidents are being honored. Huh?
Well, wasn't it to like put Lincoln and Washington's birthday together?
I don't know. Let's read on. There's no agreement on something as simple as whether is an apostrophe in presidents. There is no agreement on something as simple as whether is an apostrophe in presidents. Yeah, so it doesn't mean if it's president or presidents.
So is it possessive or is it plural?
I don't know. English teacher, survey says, ask a handful of people who the holiday is meant to recognize, and you aren't likely to get the same answers. In fact, what it is generally called President's Day, Nathan. Shadow Nation, is still recognized by the U.S. government as Washington's birthday.
Really?
Yes. It is George Washington's birthday, President's Day, February 17th, and it describes the holiday this way. Are you ready? Official.
I'm listening.
Description. Washington's birthday is observed the third Monday in February in honor of General George Washington, the first president of the United States. This date is commonly called President's Day, and many groups honor the legacy of past presidents on this date.
So even though Lincoln's birthday falls closer than Washington's birthday, it's Washington's
birthday. That's what they say. Some states do, in fact, honor both Washington, who was born February 22nd, and Abraham Lincoln, who was born February 12th. But other states honor Washington and Thomas Jefferson, but not Lincoln, on this holiday. And some states honor all the presidents.
Are those the southern states?
Yeah. Funny. They don't have a President's Day there. That's terrible. We love you southerners. I do. America. That's all I have to say. One law, one policy. Constitution. Declaration of Independence. Anyway, happy President's Day coming up, everybody. I'll be at work, as everybody else will be. The kids get off school, though, right?
Yeah, the kids get off school. The rest of us have to work.
Yeah. Anyway, National Holiday Act of 1971 passed by Congress created three-day weekends for federal employees by moving the celebration of some holidays to Mondays, although states did not have to honor them. So they tried it as a three-day in 1971 as a three-day. It was passed by Congress, created three-day weekends for federal employees. So it used to not be on that date, but it would give you, like, if you had Saturday and Sunday off, it would give you like Friday, Saturday, Sunday for president, honor president. I kind of remember that, actually.
Now, a lot of kids who get off school for, like, that week.
Yeah.
Are looking at not getting the whole week off now because of all this snow we've been having.
Yeah, no. Hey, what about the groundhog? Did you even keep track of that?
I watched the groundhog on Groundhog's Day.
So what happened?
Depends on which one you were watching.
There's only one. Poxitone Phil or whatever his name.
Poxitone Phil. Yeah. Six more weeks of winter.
Six more weeks.
There was one that actually, one of the smaller groundhog celebrations, the groundhog bit the ear of
the mayor's ear,
the host that was getting being told how much winter we had left. Yeah. So,
you know, there's actually a website, thegroundhog.org, the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. Punxsutawney.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Groundhog.
Do you ever watch the movie Groundhog's Day on Groundhog's Day?
Started in 1887. No, I don't, because I live Groundhog Day every freaking day of my life. Except when we do the show on Sunday. It's always new, always fresh. So we don't have to. Phil predicts six more weeks of winter. We're on the front page. You're not lying.
Yeah, right there, man. Yeah. I watched. I knew. That's Believe me, if it had said early spring, I would have been all for that.
Did you see all these people show up to see a rat climb out of a hole? That's crazy. We should go to New York City and interview a rat, a common rat, and just ask them, hey, what do you think about the winter thing?
What do you think about all this snow?
Yeah, what do you think about it? Doctor Who goes Lego.
Doctor Who goes Lego. Yeah. And this, my friend,
to talk about that, huh?
Despite the fact that I am not a Lego guy.
You're not?
No, I do not play with Legos. I'm a grown up.
I hear you right now in your office. That's when we're interviewing guests.
When you hear stuff going around the office, you know, going click, 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 click. That is not Legos.
I'm more of a Lincoln Log man.
Yeah, I was a Lincoln Log man growing up, I will admit.
That's awesome.
Lincoln gave them to me. I thought they were wonderful. But
Lincoln's log.
Anyway, you know, but I don't play the video games, nothing like that. Yeah. But I'm sure Lego is getting into this with the idea that the video games are going to be, you know, out there. They're going to be able to make a fortune on the video games. Yeah, but have you bought Legos for your kids, man?
Yes.
You know how, do you see how expensive these things are now?
Yes, I did.
Hoo-ah!
So did I.
I went out to thinking about getting one of my godsons a Star Wars Lego set.
Okay.
For Christmas. Figure now, you know, I'll pick up a Lego set for $25-$30.
Yeah.
$150.
You have got to be kidding me. How much?
$150 for a Lego set.
That's crazy. I'm not paying that. I'm not paying that.
I mean, you could pick up the little tiny ones, like literally five pieces and a character for $25.
Doesn't Disney own them now? Lego? Yeah.
Probably.
People are upset by this, Nathan. I
imagine they are, because they're coming out with a Wall-E Lego, too.
Can't you talk to your Illuminati friends and see what can be done about this? My goodness.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sean.
Ixnay on the nay me. I didn't do it right, did I?
Somebody's knocking on my door, Sean.
Uh-oh.
Somebody knocking on your door?
I hear a black helicopter, yeah.
Yeah, but 50 years of Doctor Who episodes have brought about 13, actually, being a Doctor Who geek that I am, 14 different Doctor Whos in the series. Okay. There is also, you know, different Doctor Who movies, stuff like that. There's so much, but the original actual plot line and characters, there's 13 doctors plus the War Doctor. Peter Capaldi, the newest doctor, is even going to be included in this new set. I imagine they'll have extra clip-on eyebrows for him because they're huge.
I can never get Legos to work. I see my kids running through them. I can never get them to fit right, the Legos. So it's kind of like the monkey.
Watch the Lego movie?
I've never seen a Lego movie.
You've never seen... That's basically an instructional guide to Lego, Sean.
Well, I heard the Lego movies were epic. I know a lot of people said they were good. I know my kids said they were good. I don't know. I've never seen it. I did see the SpongeBob on the silver screen this weekend.
I saw the photos.
Yes, I took baby girl to see it, my youngest daughter. And I like SpongeBob.
You know, the funny thing is, man, people I would never thought, would have never thought,
yeah,
liked Lego, have come back from the, or Lego, sorry, SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Have come back from the SpongeBob movie and told me that now they like SpongeBob.
Do they have a, do they have a SpongeBob Lego?
I don't know.
Does Disney own old Lego?
You're asking all these. Well,
I don't know. We need.
There
to
are a lot of Lego video games out there now.
Yeah.
And there is even a Lego Star Wars video game. God.
Yeah, there is.
So if Disney doesn't own Lego, they're certainly into cahoots with them.
Yeah, there is a lot of cahoots going on with Disney.
Oh, good grief!
You know what I mean? Charlie don't like it. Hey, I seen that in the previews while I was out there, Charles. He's coming back, Demon Hunter, to the silver screen peanuts. Charles Schulz is bringing him back. Well, he's not. He's, but his people are bringing him back. There's going to be a Peanuts movie.
A Peanuts movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that seem right to you, Sean?
I'm excited about it. Charlie Brown movie. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't been happy with Muppets since... you know, since Jim Henson died. So now I'm a little worried about bringing back.
I thought the Muppets were great. The guy that still plays Kermit's voice still does. Plays Kermit's. The guy that still does the voice for Kermit, that's the guy, same guy. Do you know that? He does Fozzie, Kermit. He was a backup to Jim Henson, of course. And he did Fozzie, Kermit, I forget, I think Gonzo. He does all three of those voices. That's original cat that worked for Henson Productions, man.
So kudos. Was he Yoda?
I don't know. Wow, I don't know. That's a good one.
Because
Henson made those, didn't he?
What's that?
Didn't George Henson's, Jim Henson's company make those? The puppets?
Yes, but, well,
I don't know.
The Oz, oh God, what was his name? It was Oz, but I don't remember.
Yeah, Frank Oz, something like that. I don't know. I don't know. Do you know?
Oh, good.
I don't know, and that's...
Charlie said your time's up.
That's kind of upsetting to me that I don't remember who did the voice of...
Well, Google it.
Yoda. All right, I'll Google it.
Yeah, Google it up. And while you're doing that, Shadow Nation, it's time
Frank Oz.
Frank Oz. He was a good guy.
He was also like the voice of Fozzie Bear.
Yeah. Hey, waka, 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 it's time... For G&D Show in the news.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's always fresh. It's always exciting. And sometimes the music's a little bit low, like right now. And the G&D Show news starts right
now.
I knew I had the music too low. How are we supposed to get amped up if it's not high enough? So you can take it up, you know, higher like this and you come in strong. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. And it's straight from the G&D Show vaults. And it starts right now. That's more like it, my friend. That's more like it. That's how we do it on the show. If we don't get it right the first time, we just do it right in front of you again. Until it's right. There's some background music.
We'll fix it in the mix.
Hey, I got the first story, unless you're keyed up, and you're probably not. That's why I looked up the first story.
Oh, fine. Go ahead.
Hey! Fresh off the vaults, guys. Straight from our friends at the Huffington Post, because you know the news from them is always straight and direct. We love you guys. Bigfoot and Yellowstone Demon Hunter National Park, according to latest viral video. Have you seen this?
I have not seen this.
The big man's back. A lot of weird things going. Well, this is the question. Let's read on here, guys. Could it be Bigfoot on a family vacation? Question mark. The latest alleged footage of the mythical creature shows four, count them, four dark figures traipsing, I can't talk tonight, through the snow near the iconic Old Faithful geyser in Yellowstone National Park. The original video landed on YouTube in December from user Mary Greeley, but recently started garnering attention from believers, naysayers, and the curious alike. The majority of the 3.5 minute clip focuses on several bison roaming in the foreground. But an avowed Bigfoot believer who calls himself Thinker Thunker on YouTube. Thinker Thunker. Say that 50 times. Thinker Thunker. Thinker Thunker. I see I messed up twice. Grabbed hold of the video in January and in a 11 minute analysis argues that the four single file creatures in the background are Bigfoot. Yeah, you can't argue with that. He basically rules out that the alleged Bigfoot, alleged Bigfoot, I don't like to say alleged because it's mispronunciation. It's alleged Bigfoot could be people because of how he interprets their bodily dimensions, their speed, their intelligence for standing so close to wild buffalo.
Their intelligence for standing so close to wild buffalo?
Does that mean they're kind of goofy? Yeah, no, but this picture does look like a bit larger hunchback man standing right next to, you know, the bison out there. Park officials don't seem to be convinced. People saw a lot of crazy things about Yellowstone all the time. People see a lot of crazy things in Yellowstone all the time, and Bigfoot is just one of them. Yellowstone National Park spokesman Al Nash told KTMF. Thanks, guys, at the Huffington Post. That was a good one. Yeah,
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. I think... you know, one thing, I think Bigfoot is, without a doubt, the hide-and-seek champion. still.
Of the world.
Reigning champion, huh?
Of the world.
Hey, did you hear the boob twerking models back with another classic?
No.
I don't know. This is front page news, man. What can I say here?
Hey, Sean, how many mistakes do you think you made while you were reading that?
She's back. Three.
Three? Okay, people have to take three drinks, because if they forgot, G&D News... is when we pull up the weird news just for you. We don't read it in advance. We just pick it by the titles. And every time we make a mistake, you have to take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game. So if you're listening to us while driving your car, please don't play the G&D drinking game. Right. And if you're planning to do anything important today, like or this week or anything along the line where you might get drunk and get in trouble, please listen responsibly.
Yeah. Don't listen to our show.
Yeah, that could get you in trouble right there.
That can get in trouble. Get you in trouble. Huh?
It could, Sean. It could.
You got the next story or what here?
I think I do. Can you hear me okay?
It's all right. I don't listen to you much, but...
All right, then.
Yay!
Ahoy!
Yeah. Ahoy there, matey!
Ahoy! I just wanted to say ahoy one more time. Ahoy!
Oh.
Creepy medical supplies found amid wreckage of pirate blackbirds... Birds. I said it again. Blackbirds.
Drink!
Ship. Blackbeard ship.
Did you say ship?
I didn't even know they'd found Blackbeard ship.
Gang bang?
Yeah. They did! The Queen Anne...
The Queen Anne's Revenge.
Thank you. You got the story in front of you. That's not fair.
That's right. Ahoy!
Ahoy there.
I guess I'll say it again. Archaeologists...
Ahoy.
Excavating pirate Blackbeard's sunken ship, named the Queen Anne's Revenge, recently unearthed from the wreckage various medical devices, and some of them look pretty darn terrifying.
Oh.
Ooh. Among the grisly finds were a urethral syringe that would be used to treat syphilis.
Okay.
So apparently,
Oh, I've seen this.
Apparently, Captain Jack got around.
Looked like a bicycle pump, for God's sakes.
Two pumps.
Oh.
Plus, they had devices used for bloodletting.
Yeah.
Live Science reported.
Oh.
Bloodletting, Sean. We all know what kind of trouble that gets you into.
Yeah. That's terrible.
We just have to understand that these people were suffering.
Yeah.
Dr. Lynn Cairns. McNutton. I swear.
I'm loving it.
McNutton. McNutton. McNutton.
McNutton. I'm loving it.
An archaeologist with the U.S. Department of Defense who volunteered on the excavation told CNN.
Yeah.
They were seeking relief from all kinds of ailments. And certainly, if they were... There was warfare on the water.
Yeah.
There were wounds among other ailments that needed treatment. It wasn't always a formally trained person in those desperate times,
McNutton.
And probably more common than we know.
McNutton says.
Oh, some of these things are pretty scary looking, John.
Well, yeah, I said the one looks like a bicycle pump.
I mean, there's a mortar and pestle here that looks like it could be used to, like, slaughter somebody with. Blackbeard lost his flagship when he ran amongst... Oh, when he ran... Have a drink, folks. Blackbeard lost his flagship when it ran aground off the coast of North Carolina in 1718. The ship was hidden by water and sand for more than 270 years until it was recovered in 1996.
Wow.
Now the shipwreck is being closely studied as part of the Queen Anne's Revenge Project of North Carolina Department of Culture Research.
Isn't that something else, man?
I guess, thanks to the medical artifacts they found aboard the flagship, archaeologists are learning more about how Blackbeard's crew treated not only small wounds and ailments, but also clinical illnesses. Because his passion for piracy, I think he cared very much about the keeping and going and keeping and going to keep his crew. That's weird. He had to have a healthy, functioning crew. McNutton told the Western Post. She described the new findings as a socially historical archaeology. She described the new findings at the Society for Historical Archaeology annual meeting on January 8th, 2005.
Drink.
This stuff is weird, Sean.
That is weird.
I got caught up in the pictures.
That is weird. So they found these bones. I did read that, but I didn't know what they were doing with it. You know? So you wouldn't be caught dead out there in the water.
No, I would not. And everybody who knows me knows the one thing I do not do is I do not go into the water.
You're scared of Jaws. You're scared of goldfish, for God's sakes.
They bite.
Goldfish?
They're carp, man. They'll bite anything.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Hot dog.
Okay, we're at 7:52, Nathan. Think we got time for one more and to fit in Legend X and the Walking
Dead? I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's just close.
We got caught up in a lot of stuff there.
We did get caught up. Let's just close the news down. What do you think?
Sure, why not?
All right, guys, that's this week's G&D show in the news. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you didn't get too drunk. They shouldn't have. There was like 5 or 6 times. Actually, you made like 20 mistakes.
I made like 20 mistakes. They're all wasted now. They're all going to be like, we missed the interview tonight because we were drunk because Nathan read the news.
Are you sure did? It's time, guys. Shadow Nation, listeners around the world, for a G&D original series, Legend X, where Nathan and myself, we have for many years, and we continue to do, is comb the universe, not the universe, the planet, should I say planet, the country, looking for the latest and greatest in monsters and myths that roam the countryside. And we try to find out if there's facts to it or if it's all fiction. This week's Legend X is
The Devil's Promenade.
Oh, classic.
There we go, Sean. Bobbing and bouncing along a dirt road in northeast Oklahoma is the Hornet Spooklight, a paranormal enigma for more than a century.
Yeah.
Described most often as an orange ball of light, the orb travels from east to west along a 4-mile gravel road, long called the Devil's Promenade by locals. The spook light, often referred to as the Joplin spook light or the Tri-State spook light, is actually in Oklahoma near a small town of Quipaw.
Okay.
I hope I say that right. Sorry to all the Quipawgians.
Yeah.
However, it is most often seen from the east, which is why it has been attached to the tiny hamlet of Hornet, Missouri, and the larger and better known town of Joplin.
Okay.
According to the legend, the spook light was first seen by Indians along the infamous Trail of Tears in 1836. However, the first official report occurred in 1881 in the publication called The Ozark Spook Light.
Interesting.
Yes, the ball of flame, described as various in size from a baseball to that of a basketball, dances and spins down the center of the road at high speeds, rising and hovering to the treetops before it retreats and disappears.
Okay.
Others have been said that it sways side to side like a lantern being carried by some invisible force.
Ah, yes.
In any event, the orange fire-like ball has reportedly been appearing nightly for well over 100 years.
You lost
according
me.
To locals, yes. The best time to view the spook light is between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, and it tends to shy away from large groups and loud sounds.
Hot dog!
Yeah.
You happy?
I am happy. Now... You lost me when you got to swinging back and forth with the lantern, because there's about 14 legends. Two or three here in Indiana. One is, I can't remember now, but there, you've heard of this. The father's looking for his daughter who was killed on prom night with a lantern. And
Well, why don't we find out if there's any natural things that could cause this to happen, Sean, and we'll blow all these legends out of the water, and people will hate us forever because we will have disproven their childhood fantasies.
Well, that's true, but, you know, there is something to be said about these legends like this. You know, swamp gas is what a lot of people say when it hits the atmosphere. Of course, it creates these amazing spectacles of these dancing balls of light, which is an amazing phenomenon within itself. Just because we can explain it doesn't make it less amazing. But I think it's important that we don't just sweep all these under the rug, man, and just say, yeah, it's swamp gas. We've seen it one place, so it's all the same, you know?
I've been in a room with you and smelt swamp gas, Sean, and I've never seen lights like that.
Never seen no lights like that. And that's true. I mean, you know, a lot of people, for instance, where there has been documented activity, Skinwalker Ranch.
True.
There's been reports of these... lights all around the ranch. I forget the name of the first family that lived out there. I'm not going to ask you because you probably forget. But Ryan was telling us, Ryan Burns, author of Skinwalker and Beyond, when he was on, he had witnessed these glowing orbs all around the property. Now, it had never been documented before. People have seen it here and there. So I guess, you know, swamp gas is, can swamp gas appear from anywhere? It doesn't need swamp or gassy water or anything like that. I mean, we'll have to look into that.
We'll have to check it out.
Anyway, guys, that's this week, Legend X.
Dun, dun, dun.
G&D Show. Nathan, I'm so excited about this next one.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You know what time it is.
It's...
You hear the music, Shadow Nation, listeners around the world. Demon Hunter, what time is it?
It's 7:57, Sean.
It's time for Rot Talk!
Rot Talk!
It's another G&D Show original, which you guys know. A lot of our friends are actors on The Walking Dead, and a lot of our guests that have came on because of our huge passion and love for this epic television series, much like The X-Files was. We have a lot of these folks on. Last one we had on was Tyrese, actor Scott, Chad Coleman. Yeah, Chad Coleman. And on this G&D original Rod Talk, guys, we cover each week all the stars, all the latest and greatest plot lines, and we throw in some spoilers. Nathan will go over that here in a minute. And we find out we tell you what we think is going to happen this week on The Walking Dead. Nathan, take it away.
Quick note, folks, the Ghostman Demon Hunter show is about to talk Rot Talk, where we go over everything having to do with The Walking Dead. That means past episodes and what we think is going to happen. So if you're not up to date with The Walking Dead, this is the time to put your hands over your ears and go la 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 la, because we don't want to spoil for you during this Rot Talk.
Rot Talk, Rot Talk. Nathan, real quick, we're at 58. I think the group comes back. I think we're going to see the comic book villain come out in the first couple episodes, Negan, and we're going to be reintroduced to Morgan, the group will be, and it's going to be an all-out war. Some people
I don't
already
know if
said
we're going to see Negan. I really don't. They have been going through a lot of the villains very quickly.
Yeah.
I would like to see Negan, but of course they're not following the comic book, so that doesn't necessarily mean that one of our favorite characters is going to die. But you never know.
Yeah. Well, go back in our archives, guys, and everybody that's ever been on the show. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. What I think happens tonight, the group is going to be on the road. We're not going to see much of anything other than a lot of zombie fighting, a lot of relocating. Rick's going to be more crazy Rick, and he's taking charge where he's just kind of peace, love, and hair grease saying, hey, what do you guys think? Let's move on to the next town. And I think that's where we're going to be right now.
I think we really do have to get over a certain death, Sean.
Yes. Well, we got to do that. They bury her, don't they, probably? I don't know. People want her back. Maybe she'll be healed.
They didn't know was she had a twin. Now we're getting to soap opera walking.
See? Down. She'll be like, as a matter of fact, just call me her name. It'll be the same. Be like I never left. You got it. Demon Hunter, we need to go to break, buddy. It's 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Let's go to break. And when we come back, what are we going to have, Sean?
Tonight's guest, guys. Be sure to stay tuned. The X-Files comes to your Mystifying Oracle Radio. Actor William Bruce Davis, most iconic villain in history of television, the cigarette-smoking man, is going to stop by the studio tonight. Get your X-Files questions ready. Get into chat. Tonight's band, Demon Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's going to be a good band. I can't wait for this band. It's amazing. Each week we play a new independent band, and tonight's band, The Bomb Busters. Name of the song, Demon Hunter, Good to Be Alone. Shadow Nation, we'll be right back.
Back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest is one of the most iconic villains in the history of television. The cigarette-smoking man fascinated legions of fans in the 1990s from the hit TV show The X-Files. William Davis is a Canadian actor and director and teacher known for his starring as the smoking man on The X-Files, besides appearing on many TV programs and movies. He also founded his own acting school, the William Davis Center for Actor Study. In his personal life, he's an avid water skier, and he works with the Canadian Cancer Society and lectures on skepticism. Shadow Nation, help us welcome the amazing William Bruce Davis to studio. William, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
I'm just nervous. It's the cigarette smoking man, Nathan, from the X-Files. I'm done. I can go in peace now. Let me wait a second.
You can tell everybody that you met the cigarette smoking man and lived to talk about it.
Yes. Well, we don't know. The interview's not over yet. No.
Yeah, so far. You've lived so far.
Yes. Well, yeah, you know, we figured we were safe because we made all the Illuminati jokes at the beginning. So it,
Okay.
You know,
William, and I hope I can call you William, and I just didn't ruin this whole interview.
Yes.
I want to jump right in there, Sean. Do you mind if I do that, Sean?
Please take it.
Because I always interrupt Sean when he takes the first question. So for the average TV watcher, such as myself and half the American public out there, you are the father of UFO and government conspiracies, but you don't really believe in them at all. So I have to ask, were you born a non-believer, or did the working on the X-Files every week just turn you away from the idea of conspiracies completely?
Well, it's interesting because doing the show kind of, I've always been a skeptic, I guess, but from time to time, certain conspiracies made me wonder. So I've tended to research them. I certainly researched a lot of the things about UFOs and all the ideas about government conspiracies surrounding UFOs, and started as a skeptic and ended even more as a skeptic.
Right.
Which is not to say I doubt government conspiracies in every respect. I think there are government conspiracies from the Western governments and the U.S. in particular to undermine governments in other parts of the world, for instance. But as for conspiracies to do anything supernatural or even conspiracies to assassinate presidents, I certainly have my doubts.
Right. Now, I got to remember, I was just watching on Netflix. I was doing my homework again, and I used to never be able to miss an X-Files. And when you were on, it was just amazing because you looked like the creepy, well, you were the creepy guy that can make you disappear. And one of the best lines that you ever had was when you were sitting around with some of your fellow shadow agents, if you will, and they were, you know, bringing up the stuff that was going on in politics and what they were controlling, similar to the Illuminati. And the dude says, you know, I got the Emmys or the Grammys in. Who do you want to win? You said, I could care less. But you said, the Buffalo Bills cannot win the Super Bowl. That'll never happen while I'm alive. Well, they haven't. So how do you know you're not the man?
Yes, exactly. No, that's true. And actually, it was me that caused the interception in the Super Bowl.
Thanks a lot, Smoking Man. My goodness. Well, you know, I seen that.
And the Patriots thank you. We all thank you.
Yes.
That's right.
Because they need
I'm not very popular in the West Coast, right?
They need another. Who was you rooting for anyway, William, in the Super Bowl this year?
Well, to be honest, I was rooting for Seattle.
Yeah.
Although a week before, I had been rooting for Green Bay. So what does that tell you? I'm a little.
See?
I'm a Green Bay fan, basically, at heart. But once they were out, I had to stick with my neighbors who were all for Seattle.
Cheddarhead. Now, besides Ontario and everywhere in the world that you've lived, have you ever lived in the United States? I'm sure while you were filming, yeah?
I've spent time in the United States. I even had a green card for quite a few years.
Yeah.
So technically, I lived in the United States, and I actually have a cabin or a small house in Blaine, Washington, as we speak, which is near where I water ski. So I spent quite a bit of time just over the border, but I've never really kind of settled in and been a resident in the United States. You know, I've worked in various places, but I haven't really lived in the U.S.
Oh, you've been everywhere.
I'm going to go off the conspiracy talk here a little bit, William, and ask, if you're water skiing, why not go someplace where the water's warmer?
No, that's a good question. And, you know, we're having a mild winter here right now. And I'm looking at the lake just today, and it looks very inviting, but I have an idea. It's very, very cold. Yes. But I'm also a snow skier, so I'm going to be doing that in the next 2 days, too. So.
Yeah, we're going over that. Not just water, but you do the snow. And some people would ask that haven't done the research, well, why snow? Well, you were born in Ontario, Canada, yes?
That's right, yes.
So,
and as we all know, in Canada, it snows 365 days a year.
Oh, sure, yeah, sure, right, yeah, right. No, actually, it doesn't snow in Toronto as much as it snows in Buffalo, actually. But yeah. Yes, we do certainly have winter, and I grew up dying to snow ski, not getting as many opportunities as I wanted, but just loving to snow ski. It wasn't until, curiously, I was in England, where I'd gone to study acting and to start my career, really. And there was really no place to snow ski in England.
Oh.
So that's really when I turned over to water skiing. I thought, well, let's try it on the water then. And there seemed to be a lot of organized clubs. And so I got involved in water skiing when I was in England.
Well, here in Indiana, they have a lot of those artificial snow slopes. You ever been to one of those, William?
You know, not really. I mean, we had a tiny little one in Scotland when I was there. But, you know, that was in 1965, I think. So, no, they've really developed since then. And I haven't seen any of the really established ones.
Yeah. Now, because while I was doing my research, and I'm such a huge fan of your work, not just The X-Files, which was amazing, but Shadow Nation, William, you've done so much for the community. Not only do you work with the Cancer Society in Canada, we also have worked with them. We've supported the Susan G. Komen 3-Day Race for the Cure. We try to involve our show in many charities. We're working with the SYL Project, which is a love project to go out to cancer patients and stuff to cheer them up right now. So kudos to you, sir, for doing that. And you've done so many good things. I was trying to find out what questions to ask you, because I want somebody like you to remember our show, because I know you've done 5,000, and they always ask you the same tired questions. And, you know, and I was trying to, because I want to find out about your childhood, growing up, how you got started into it. Did, you know, being an amazing actor, did you ever look in the window and say, I'm going to be amazing? You had to, right? You had to know what you wanted to do. How did that start for you?
Well, yes, curiously, yes, I did start quite young. My cousins, who were an older generation, half generation older than I, they were running a summer theater company in Ontario. And when I was 11 or 10 or 11, they were rehearsing before they went north in the summer in our basement in Toronto. So we had this professional acting company kind of all around us for 2 months in the spring before they started in the season. And one year they needed a young boy in a play. And so I was the closest boy, I guess. So they said, how about you? And so that was my first introduction. And I guess that went well enough. And I started doing more work with them as a child actor. And I started to work with CBC Radio. And I hate to date myself, but the truth is, this was before we had television. And so radio is where it was at. Nice. So I was a fairly active radio actor when I was 12, 13, before my voice broke. And then I was useless as a child actor. And then everything sort of stopped.
Right.
Then when I went to university, I started to do a lot more acting, and I kind of went to the University of Toronto because they had a really good program for theater, and I thought I was going to be an actor, but I started actually directing plays, and I became more of a director. And for 20 years, I was really more a theater director and acting teacher than actually an actor, although I had trained as an actor in England. And then I just sort of drifted back to it, trying to kind of refresh my skills as a director and as a teacher, and then seemed to be pretty good at it. And so I found myself getting more and more work, and more things were happening. And then, of course, The X-Files happened, and the whole career as an actor took off.
Yeah.
That, in a nutshell. Of course, my fans can read all about it if they want to in my memoir, sure. Where There's Smoke, which goes into a whole story of my childhood and how it all came about, and also what I thought about The X-Files while I was there.
Yeah. Or they can tune into this episode, listeners.
That's right, and they can tune into this episode.
But yeah. You're not going to tell all the secrets
now,
from the book.
Now, I found it interesting that the cigarette smoking man actually quit smoking in the 1970s. So I always wondered if during the towards the end of the cigarette man smoking man's reign, when you were standing there all sickly with the cancerous diseases that the cigarette smoking man had, did you ever look at anybody on set after they made you all up and just go, "And this is why I quit"?
Yeah. Those were candy sins.
No, you know, I never thought of actually doing that, but certainly fair enough. I've certainly seen people in miserable conditions because of smoking, and it's a terrible thing to do, and people should not do it.
Oh, well, Sean had to put up with me through my quitting.
Oh, man.
And I don't know how the show survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Quitting, I mean, we underestimate that. Quitting is very, very challenging. There's no question. Smoking is really addictive. There's no doubt.
Well,
I sympathize with people trying to quit.
But, was that a problem?
Hang in there. Do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. William, was that a problem? When you got cast for the X-Files, they had brought you in, and you were supposed to be silent. All you were going to do was smoke cigarettes. Was that a problem when they brought you in? You say, "Hey, man, I don't smoke."
Well, no. Not at first. It was 17 years, I think, since I'd quit, so I was pretty sure I was clear.
Yeah.
So when we did it, they said, "Well, you know, do you want to smoke real cigarettes, or we could give you these herbal cigarettes?" And I said, "Oh, no, give me a real cigarette. It's not a problem. I'm over it." Yeah. And so for the first episode, I smoked real cigarettes. And then the second episode, quite a bit of time later, I said, "Sure, I'll smoke real cigarettes." And then I found myself sitting at home thinking, "Gosh, why don't they call me for this X-Files show again?" and I realized, oh no, I can't do that. I cannot smoke real cigarettes. So after that, they gave me these herbal cigarettes, and I smoked them for the rest of the run, and they're pretty awful, but they're not addictive. You don't go home wanting to have another one.
That's for certain. I'll say and this goes back to saying how old I am, because when I started smoking, in a school play, because they actually gave me cigarettes to smoke in the school play.
What?
Oh, my. You should sue them.
I was doing the Glass Menagerie. And
oh yeah, right.
Uh-huh. The lead character, I was playing Tom Wingfield, and it was actually for a theater program outside of the school, but I was in high school at the time. And yeah. I was smoking and it was being held in the school auditorium. So I was smoking these Lucky Strike no filters, chain smoking them through the play. And by the time the play was over, I was sitting there like halfway through the play, I was sitting there saying, "Boy, I could really go for a cigarette."
Yeah.
And that's how I got hooked.
And then how long did you smoke after that?
I started when I was 17, and I quit. What did I quit, last year, Sean?
I think so. He started the Vapo thing. What do you think of that, William? The vaporizer?
No, if it works, and it's good enough, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you can cut down your nicotine slowly and get rid of the cigarette.
That's true.
Yeah, wow. But,
you know, but, the X-Files. Go ahead, Nate. Were you finishing
the thought? Oh, no, I was just sitting there thinking with the, with all that time smoking on set, and just constantly, you always had a cigarette in hand, even when you were doing the herbals. Did it ever just feel right, and you were like, "I should go back to the cigarette"?
No, it never felt like I should go back. But there was something about it that I really enjoyed. Because I had started to smoke even younger than you, and I started to smoke because I would feel more grown up, more powerful. You know, when you're 12 and you have a cigarette, boy, you feel like you're like 15. You know, I mean, you feel like you're one of the big boys. So smoking always kind of is associated to me with being powerful, with being strong, with being good. And so just the action of smoking was helpful for me as the character, and I always looked forward to that, and I never forgot, how to handle cigarettes, how to get them out of your pack, how to get them in your mouth, how to light them, all of that whole business of smoking was just still second nature to me. But no, I was not ever tempted to actually start really smoking again.
Sean, I know you've got a question. I just want to ask one other thing.
Take your time, yeah.
Did Did they? I seem to remember it, and nobody else seems. Everybody tells me I'm wrong, but did they ever refer to the cigarette smoking man as the Marlboro man?
No, not that I know of. No, because it wasn't Marlboros that I smoked.
Right.
It was Morley's in a Marlboro looking box, but they were called Morley's. There's no such thing. But I never heard that, and actually it wouldn't be kind of the right image anyway. Marlboro
right.
Man was more of a kind of cowboy sort of.
So it's just a memory that's false in my mind.
John Wayne.
I could have been called any number of things. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody called me that, but I don't recall hearing it myself.
Hey, I got to tell you, for the sci-fi geeks like myself and Nathan, the X-Files is the I Love Lucy of entertainment for the science fiction genre. William, what does that feel like? I mean, I remember the only comfort I ever had, I was going through a divorce. And I had come home, I was losing my shirt, man. You know, I was giving everything, just wanted to get out of it. 5-year marriage, nothing, right? Young and stupid. And I remember the only thing I had after work was I'd come home, turn on the TV, and it was comforting to know the X-Files would be there. And it still is. What does that feel like to be part of something, not just a TV show, but an iconic TV show like that? What does it feel like?
Well, it was fascinating, I have to say. I mean, it's faded quite a lot now. I mean, there's still a lot of people interested in the show, and there's a whole other generation kind of watching it on Netflix. But at the time in the 90s, I mean, it really was, as you say, iconic. It was an event. It was more than a TV show. I mean, it was somehow not actually influencing world events, but in the public mind, internationally, whether you're in Japan or whether you're in Canada or whether you're in the U.S., whether you're in England or wherever, France, Italy, Australia. Mm-hmm. And it spoke in some way to that generation at that time that I think was quite unique. I don't know that it would have had the same power in the 2000s as it did in the 90s.
Right.
The 90s was the beginning of the age of the internet. It was the beginning of when we started not looking at books anymore, but looking at images on a screen. And at that time, the images on the screen didn't stay there necessarily. So things came and went. And the whole idea of what's real and what's not real seemed to be almost a kind of new concept to it that we were all sort of aware of without really philosophically examining. It was just what is real?
Right.
Who knows? And the X-Files just plugged into the zeitgeist in some kind of unique way, I think.
How did you get cast for that, William? Let's go into it. I mean, you went on set. You were supposed to be just one part, right? And then they seen you and said, we got to have this guy. How'd that work?
Yeah, what happened is quite simply, they were shooting in Vancouver, where I was based, and so I auditioned, and I auditioned actually for a part called the senior FBI agent. He had 3 lines. My friend Ken Camera got that part, and I laugh about that every time I see Ken, but...
backfire!
But... what happened, I think, was, you know, they really liked the presence, and I think that's all they were thinking of at the time. The X-Files was kind of unique in TV annals because it had no real Bible. I mean, in no sense that they'd planned what was going to happen. So they were very flexible as to what seemed to be working. And the character seemed to be really interesting. And so they started to bring the character in more and more and just gave me a line or two here and there, but nothing particular. And then Morgan and Wong wrote an episode. They were always a little ambitious, and they wrote an episode with a huge scene for the cigarette-smoking man. And I understand now, because my friends who were producers at the time, but they weren't my friends at the time, who told me that they were going, well, I don't know. You know, yeah, it's a great scene, but, you know, can Bill Davis act, you know?
Right.
I said to them, since, well, they could have looked at my resume, but they didn't seem to have time to do that. But anyway,
well, producers don't do that. You should.
No, exactly. So anyway, one of the producers, Bob Goodman, was actually assigned to direct that particular episode, and he was, and he admits subsequently that he was anxious about it, but, you know, as soon as we started to work, he says, hey, just relax. He said it was fabulous. He said it was like working with Donald Sutherland. He was just totally thrilled. So from there on, once they trusted me as an actor and saw how useful the character was in the story, then they started to build it and build it and build it,
right,
until it became what it became, you know.
Now, you had that one episode, I believe it was Memoirs of the Smoking Man, that was the title of it, season 4, episode 7, and you killed Kennedy, you killed, who didn't you kill, you killed Martin Luther King, you were behind everything, and you were waiting to shoot one of the Lone Gunmen, one of the best episodes I think I've ever seen, and there was a line in that. There was a line in that, William, where I said, if I ever get William on the show, I'm going to totally geek out and I'm going to read it to him. Huh?
Go for it, yeah.
All right, here we go. Bear with me. Now I'm going to mess it up. How many historic events have only the two of us witnessed together? How often did we make or change history? Our names can never grace any pages of record. No monument will ever bear our image. Yet, once again, tonight, the course of human history will be set by two unknown men standing in the shadows. Ah, I did it. I did it, Nathan.
Wow, you did it, and I'd forgotten that.
Epic.
That's to Deep Throat? Is that who I'm talking to at the time?
Yes, I do believe that was who you were talking to.
You were talking to Deep Throat,
and we flipped the coin. We have an alien in a cage, which we're going to kill,
yeah.
I think.
And you couldn't do it no more. You had pitched the book. You were trying to get out of it, which made you want to love The Smoking Man.
Yeah, that's a strange episode because it's there are things in it. You know, did The Smoking Man really kill? You know, I mean, it's a nice fantasy that he killed Kennedy and he killed Martin Luther King, but did he really?
Yeah.
I mean, even in the mythology of the story, we finally in our own minds kind of put it down to this is what Froehlke, because it's Froehlke's telling the story at the beginning of the episode. This is what he thinks the cigarette smoking man is like. Yeah. And this is what he thinks he did. He may have or he may not have. We don't know. But because some of those things didn't really fit with other things that had already happened in the series. But,
yeah.
But it made a great episode, as you say.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing episode.
Now, that kind of segues really nicely into the question I have, Sean.
Hey, that's it. I've peaked right there. I just said a line to William Davis, The Smoking Man. I just read his line back.
You did a great job on that line. You did a great job on that.
I will be enrolling in your school on Monday.
In your most recent series, Continuum,
yep.
You played the older Alex Sandler.
Okay.
And the younger Alex Sandler was played by, I think it was Eric Knudsen.
Eric Knudsen, yeah.
And did you try to play his attitude and mannerisms grown up, or did you two work on it together? And was it kind of a throwback to when, you know, Craig and Chris Owens played a younger cigarette smoking man? Was there any like recollection there?
I never really kind of tweaked it with Chris Owens, although Chris Owens, of course, ended up playing my son in X-Files, too. So, but Eric and I didn't do very much. We did, early on, we did kind of get together and kind of get a feel for each other and a feel for our rhythms and so on. But once you kind of get on set and start to do what you have to do in that particular scene, it there's not a lot of room to really echo the mannerisms. It could have been explored more than we did,
yeah.
But we didn't go terribly far with it. It's quite curious because, you know, he looks like me in many ways, but he's half my height.
He's a mini-me.
And did they have you? Did they have him stand on a box when you guys had to be eye to eye? Or
well, we've never been eye to eye.
That's true.
We're the same person, right?
Yes.
But we're coming up to the conclusion of the series, which will be shot in March, April this year, final six episodes. And all I know is that I'm in some of them. I'm assuming young Sadler gets closer to me in age, but whether we actually appear on screen together, I have no idea. And I have serious doubts whether I will live through the experience. I have died 18 times on screen since X-Files, and I'm not sure this won't be number 19.
Now, the death in X-Files, you were so beloved in X-Files. And people, and your death was so, like, they never found the body. So
which death are we referring to?
The missile launch down in Mexico.
Yes, right. Okay, then that's the end. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Did they never found the body? And people are still saying, and in the, I believe in a few of the comic books, the cigarette smoking man reemerges after that.
Ah.
So my question is, there's always talk about a new movie.
Yes.
If it occurs, would the cigarette smoking man, would CGB Spander actually show up?
It's curious, and I don't know what's going to happen. There now is quite a bit of talk about a television series.
Yes.
You may have heard. And perhaps a mini series. And I'm not sure what form it would take. And I don't know. I have no idea how they would set it, because if they go on in time, you know, and run it continuously from the end of the series, you know, then we've got Mulder and Scully with a weird baby. We've got me dead. I mean, most of the elements that you want, the sexual tension between Mulder and Scully and the cigarette-smoking man manipulating things in the background, they're all gone. So I'm wondering if they redo the TV show, they'll actually go back in time and kind of redo a whole sequence of events that happen while Mulder and Scully, before they've got together, before I've died, and so on. Of course, yeah. That's what I hope, because maybe. I'd love to be in it, but I don't know what they're thinking. I have no idea.
Well, it's going to happen because it's blown up. Somebody's dropped the ball, and it's going nuts right now because they're saying this is definitely going to happen. Of course, the internet never lies, but
right.
You know, they're saying this is going to happen.
It's interesting what you said about my death, because I just kind of assumed that it was clear that at that time I couldn't have survived. But yet maybe I stepped to one side and the missile just went past me. It's
see?
Possible.
See?
But then I still, if I come back, I'm still the old guy with the tracheotomy, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd really rather be the guy with the suit and the cigarette.
Unless, of course, the aliens
yes.
pick you up.
Good possibility. They could. That's everything's possible. Let's hope.
There you go.
Let's go into the writer's studio, Nathan. We're bringing you back. We're bringing you back, William. That's it.
Give your friends over at the X-Files a call for us, will you, William? We need to be in there writing for you.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Dave, William.
Sean, I just wanted to ask him a question about Supernatural as well, because you know I'm a Supernatural fanatic.
Right.
And you did the episode of The Scarecrow.
Right.
And I just kind of wanted to know the difference between those series. You know, you're doing Continuum now. You did that Supernatural where you were like a one shot with that one episode, and you had that long running character on X-Files. So what's the difference between those kind of roles that you're playing? I mean, occasionally you get to play a nice funny role every now and then. What's your favorite kind of thing to go on TV and do?
Yeah, I do, and for quite a period there, I was doing on kind of a lot of MOWs. I was doing a nice guy who turned out by the end of the movie to be the bad guy, but started off being the nice guy. And I have done some roles that are nice guys. I did a film called Abduct, where I play a rancher. It's not released yet. And I'm in talks about a film called After Frankenstein where I'm a really bad guy. But Supernatural was fun. It was very quick. But it was fun. It didn't seem very different because Kim Manners was directing it. You know, and he directed me in so many X-Files episodes. It was kind of like deja vu all over again, as they say. But it is a different feel. And Continuum, it's a different feel because it's a different kind of show. It's more obviously science fiction.
Right.
I mean, it's more high tech all around you. You know, the people are different. One of the big differences between Continuum and X-Files is they talk to me. They tell me things. They tell me what the story is. They tell me what's going on. X-Files just gave me a script and said, you figure it out.
Right. William.
Which is not to complain about X-Files at all. I mean, I thoroughly loved it, but there was a different relationship. Well, partly because, of course, we shot in for the first 5 years, we shot in Vancouver, and the writers were in California. So we didn't actually see the writers very much, but in Continuum, we're all in Vancouver. So, so we actually see the writers, so we actually can talk to them. But at another level, you're shooting a television show, shooting a movie, it's all the same thing. It's all the same kind of work. So in some ways, it's not that different. It's what comes out the other end that's different. The actual experience on set is pretty similar.
I miss the snack cart, the craft services. That's what I miss the most.
That's what you missed the most, yeah. And that's a function of budget. You know, the higher the budget, the better the craft services, that's for sure. But then you get stupid shows. You get shows where you're in a building, you know, that they've rented, a very precious building, so you're not allowed to take food into the building. So the craft services is somewhere outside and around the corner,
in the alley.
And it's pouring rain, and you're not allowed to go outside in your costume. Sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, William, you're an amazing actor, and you're great at whatever you do, and you're an iconic actor. And I tell you, how does our listener base find out more about you, fans of the show?
Well, there's simple ways. There's a Facebook fan page, William B. Davis fan page on Facebook. There's my website, which is williambdavis.com. There's my memoir, Where There's Smoke, which can be purchased at Amazon or other booksellers, or through my website if you want an autographed version. Those would be the main ways of keeping in touch with me.
Amazing. Nathan, do you have any more questions for William?
Dude, I am burned out. I wish I could think of more.
Amazing interview. William, can you stay on the line 1 second while we close out for our sponsors?
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on. William B. Davis, everybody, amazing actor. What do you say we pay some bills, Nathan?
That sounds good to me.
Here we go. Hey, guys, special thanks to all our sponsors, all our homes, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know, so check them out at actionaudioapps.com. Creative Commons and Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes. Make sure to go to SYL Project, thesylproject.com. Spread some love, give some love, guys. Donate today. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.